following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Twitter user @Janae_Boyles tweeted, "I hate my car with a passion. #untrustworthy. Janae, good thing it's the Honda Summer Clearance Event. We've got great deals on the Accord, which has been on Car and Driver's 10 Best List a record 27 times. That means you can focus that passionate hatred on other things, like sunburns and broccoli.
Well-qualified buyers can get 0.9% APR financing at the Honda Summer Clearance Event, happening now.
Car and Driver, January 2013. See dealer for financing details.
Tuesdays on USA Network are about to become your favorite night of the week.
Do we have a deal or not?
Because two of TV's most addictive shows are back.
Come in.
At 9, Covert Affairs returns with its most anticipated season yet.
I'm just doing my job.
And at 10, it's a new season of Suits, the most talked about show on TV.
Butch and Sundance are back.
It's two can't-miss shows back-to-back. The season premiere of Covert Affairs tomorrow at 9, 8 Central, followed by Suits at 10, 9 Central, only on USA Network.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria Anzoretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? ThinkMidway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one.
Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show. Where am I? Where are you? What is producer Jeff, and what am I doing in studio?
What is this place?
I don't know. First time I've actually been in the studio for the show in nearly 2 weeks, and you were back yesterday, fresh from getting that wedding ring and honeymoon and all that, so you look refreshed and ready to go. I think you should share some of your stories, you know, the daytime stories at least, from your paddle boat adventure.
Yeah, everyone wants to know about it. Do you want to do it now? Or?
No. You know, if we have time, which I hope we don't, you know, we can talk about you getting lost at sea.
It did happen. That is a fact.
Doug and Daddy Show, Jeff Babel, our producer on the program today, and we're going to keep pretty busy. Coming up here in just a second, we're going to talk about the four finalists for the UNK Athletic Director position, and we'll also talk with Tim Flaherty, Senior USGA Director. He was the man in charge of the U.S. Senior Open, one of them, I guess we should say, but he is Director of the U.S. Senior Open, and he is going to join us to kind of put that final ribbon on. And I think that's the biggest question I have. I think it's the biggest question a lot of people have. Did Omaha live up to what they want? And again, there's no way it could be as perfect as everybody wants to make it sound. Everybody's going to say the right things. I'm interested in what needs to get changed or needs to be better for the event to come back to Omaha, because, folks, just reading a little bit between the lines, and even yesterday talking to Omaha Country Club pro Tony Pesavento, reading some of the recaps from Stu Pospisil in the Omaha World Herald, their golf writer, Dirk Chatlin, they had their whole crew out there last week. But just reading what some of the Omaha Country Club people are saying, they're not jumping up and down right now trying to get another one back. There is nowhere I've seen a comment or a byline or a quote that those guys are jumping up and down saying, God, we'd do it again next year. So that makes me kind of scratch my head and go, the USGA might want to come back, but does OCC want it? And I find that very strange, very strange indeed. So we'll find out from Tim Flaherty what his vibe is and all the things that went on, not just the last week, but the whole time it took him to prepare for this. Plus, I believe we have tied him down with duct tape. Paul Kondike from Spartan Magazine, who has been busy with some things. And we're going to give him one more chance today to talk 12 teams in 12 days with Michigan State. Then we got to play catch-up for the rest of the week. Who we got tomorrow, Jeffrey?
The voice of the Fighting Illini, Brian Barnhart.
Oh, boy. He's in for maybe another long season. It was a rough one. I mean, think about it. The way that they tailspun at the end of the 2011 season after making it into the top 15. I'm not sure they made it quite to the top 10, but off to that undefeated start, they get rid of a coach. Many people believe they've got the worst situation right now in the Big Ten, and not a lot of good things are being said, so we'll talk about that tomorrow, and then we're going to be playing some catch-up. We've still got Wisconsin and Ohio State and Iowa among the teams that we need to talk about, and of course, next Tuesday, our Husker Roundtable, 12 teams in 12 days, will wrap up, and a week from tomorrow, Mike Will and I will be in Chicago for Big Ten Media Days on July 24th and 25th. Plus, Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. All of that is coming up on the Doug and Daddy Show today. But first, let's start with what will be the most important story locally, and that is the hiring of a new athletic director at UNK. And today, Chancellor Doug Christensen announced the four finalists. And again, remember, folks, just because these four have been named finalists, that doesn't mean that they are going to take the job if it's offered to them. We've seen that so many times out there that you'll apply, maybe they just for the practice of it, maybe for your university to get wind of it and say, hey, whoa, no, we want you to stay. So we'll see if all of these folks actually do come to Kearney for an on-campus visit. Chancellor Christian said that they'll all be invited and that there will be forums arranged so that the campus and Kearney community can meet the candidates and give input for the man or woman to replace John McBride. And those four finalists, two men, two women. Paul Plinsky is the athletic director at Wisconsin Whitewater, a solid Division III institution, very good football program there. Before that, he was at Wisconsin Lacrosse from 94 to 2004. He's been at Wisconsin Whitewater since 2004. He was part of the athletic administration office at Illinois and at Minnesota while pursuing his doctoral and master's degrees. So there you go. Also, Rick Gobe, the athletic director at Bemidji State, Division II. He is the only Division II person that is on this list of four. He's been there since 2001. From 95 to 2001, he was at Alaska Fairbanks. And something that will be near and dear to a few people's heart, he was the head wrestling coach at St. Cloud State in the early 90s. So I think if you get him, you wouldn't have to worry about your wrestling program. But then again, we thought that at UNO. Then you've got a couple of folks. Both of the ladies have Division I experience. Mary Ellen Gillespie is the Associate Athletic Director for External Relations at Bowling Green, heavily involved in development and major gifts since 2006. And she has extensive experience in development, advancement, and student life at Purdue, also Iowa, and the Northern American Interfraternity Conference. And that is your Mary Ellen Gillespie short resume. And then finally, you've got Jean Berger, who has been the Senior Associate Athletic Director and Senior Women's Administrator at Northern Iowa since 2008. She was at Drake from 92 to 2005 and has 28 years of successful collegiate athletic administration experience, including a little time at Wayne State in Nebraska. So Jean Berger, she is your Northern Iowa connection. Mary Ellen Gillespie, Bowling Green. Rick Gobe at Bemidji State. And Paul Plinsky at Wisconsin Whitewater. Those are your four finalists for the athletic director position at the University of Nebraska at Kearney. So we will see how soon they're able to get somebody in. The chancellor said they would like to have the person named by the time the athletic seasons begin. That's just around the corner. So love to have that prior to the start of fall athletics. And that gets going. People start reporting almost at the end of July, and practices in August, and competition in late August begins for UNK athletics. And you can read all about this on our sports page at ESPNSuperstation.com. ESPNSuperstation.com is also where you can vote on our Midtown Mart poll question of the day. And our poll question of the day is, does participating in the Home Run Derby harm a player's production for the second half of the season? Some people say it has. Back in the day, Ken Griffey Jr., Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, they've all been in the Home Run Derby, and I don't think it affected necessarily any of them. But will your winner, Eunice Cespedes, Eunice Cespedes of Oakland. Will it hurt him? I doubt it. Will anybody pay attention? Only if he keeps doing some good things. Bryce Harper might be the man to watch. He made the finals last night. Voted ESPNSuperstation.com. Our Midtown Mark Cooler question yesterday. Do you agree with the rule that every team should have a player in the All-Star game? 57% said, no, you don't agree with the rule. 43% said, yes. I said, yeah, I think it's good to have somebody in there. Every team has somebody that's deserving of being an All-Star, I think, instead of the fifth player from the Yankees or the fifth player from the Rockies or the fifth player from the Dodgers, or pick whoever is hot at the time. So there is your vote. Our Midtown Mark Cooler question up every day at ESPNSuperstation.com. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Tim Flaherty, Senior Director, USGA, the United States Golf Association, right after this.
Travis Pastrana has leaped from an airplane without a parachute. He once jumped his rally car 269 feet onto a barge. But his latest feat, Travis races his 650 horsepower Roush Fenway stock car using a racing formulation of Valvoline motor oil with next-gen technology. Made with 50% recycled oil, Valvoline Next Gen is specially designed for today's hotter running engines. Valvoline with next-gen technology, 100% satisfaction guaranteed.
This is our story, the story of the Band of Brewers. Our love of beer ran 9 to 5 and 5 to 9, because there's no stopping those with a common bond, those whose passion never runs out, those who tasted and tested their way to an award-winning amber lager. And now, it's here. Introducing the gold medal-winning Third Shift Amber Lager. When beer is your calling, you never clock out. Band of Brewers Company, Fort Worth, Texas. Raise your glass.
The stars are coming out Tuesday night.
Davis has done it again.
Harper takes off. Throw to the plate. Safe at the plate. Wow.
Here we go back. This is the moment. Tonight is the night. We'll fight till it's over.
Home run, Miguel Cabrera.
Struck him out. Kershaw fans three.
Home run the opposite way for David Wright.
The 2013 All-Star Game. Tuesday on ESPN Radio and the ESPN Radio app.
Sunny to partly cloudy skies will develop through the day today with a spotty chance for a storm late. Otherwise, expect a high at 89 with south winds on the way up to 10 to 20. For tonight, with partly cloudy skies, we'll fall off to 65 for a low. Right now, it's 70.
Doug and Daddy's show rolling on a busy Tuesday. Glad to be back here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. As you know, we were at the U.S. Senior Open all week last week. In just a second here, we're going to catch up with the Senior Director, Tim Flaherty. But it's not just that. There is a lot of golf going on in the area. Congratulations. You know, I've noticed that since their younger brother, Riley Reinertsen, has been getting a lot of accolades getting ready for his senior year, his brothers, Jordan and Josh, have started to pick up their golf game. And that was interesting yesterday because Jordan was the qualifier for the U.S. Amateur at Wilderness Ridge in Lincoln. He shot the best round he'd ever shot there on their college course, a 67 in the second round yesterday, shot 141 for the 36 holes, and he gets to go to the famous Brookline, Massachusetts Country Club. And how was that famous, folks? Well, the most famous is the U.S. comeback in the 1999 Ryder Cup with the Justin Leonard putt, and Reinertsen was going to get a chance to play there, a one-shot victory yesterday over Will Pieper. Also, the Nebraska women's match play is going on at Wild Horse out at Gothenburg, and yesterday Morgan Schmeckle shot 74. She's the medalist, the number one seed, defending champion Elizabeth Lydiate of Kearney, and of course, highly praised and touted Daniel Lemick of Donovan is playing in that field as well, going on right now down at Gothenburg. And the Nebraska Junior Amateur and Girls Amateur underway today at the Oakland Golf Club. So there is golf all over the state. I think everybody's ready to get out there after watching the U.S. Senior Open last week. And we are pleased to welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show Tim Flaherty, Senior Director, USGA. And he's back home in Scottsdale, Arizona, where it couldn't possibly be as hot as it was 1 week ago today. Tim, 103 at the Senior Open. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing today?
Well, we're doing great. I thank you so much for giving us some time here on the Doug and Daddy Show as we kind of put a wrap on what was years of preparation for the city of Omaha and Omaha Country Club. And now as the dust settled, just your impressions. Of course, everybody is saying good things about Omaha and the attendance and the volunteers, but plane ride home, you get a chance to maybe digest a little bit of this. What was the one thing that stood out to you from last week?
Well, I think, as you mentioned, a lot of good things being said, and that's rightly so. The thing that stood out to me is just that, you know, these things are successful when the whole community is involved and when it's success for the whole community, the whole state, and that's exactly what we had there. You know, if it's just successful for the USGA or just successful for the club, it doesn't really work. But when the whole community is brought together, the whole city, the whole state, and it really turns into a community affair. And that's exactly what happened. So, look, the USGA left a very positive, really, really positive of everything about Omaha, really.
Tim, we talked about this when you guys came out for Media Day, how difficult it might be to make that decision to not go to a suburban Chicago or one of the or suburban New York and one of the very storied golf courses, because you only get to do it once a year for the Senior Open and the places that you can move around. Taking a chance on going to Des Moines, taking a chance on going to Omaha, Oklahoma, it pays off in the volunteers, in the tickets. Does it pay off for the tournament overall?
Well, Doug, we start with, we have a very simple, the very first principle we start with is that is the golf course good enough to test the best players in the world? So, you know, we talk about, you know, taking a risk going to certain places. We get comfortable with the golf course first, and then I get involved more with the surrounding things, the community, the club, corporate support, ticket sales, all those types of things. But we don't take a great chance on a golf course. We felt that Omaha Country Club, you know, after the renovation they did in 05 and 06, really presented us with what we thought was a hidden gem and that a lot of people didn't know about it. So you could say we took a chance on it, but we had strong opinions that we thought it was a really, really good golf course that the senior tour players would love to play, and that's exactly what we ended up with. Beyond that, you know, you talk about going to major cities and Chicago's and Los Angeles. We found a lot of success with the Senior Open in smaller markets in places like Omaha, Nebraska. We had one of our best Senior Opens ever. In Hutchinson, Kansas, just down the road at Prairie Dunes, you know, Toledo, Ohio, places like that, we've done very well. And as you mentioned, those benchmarks are corporate support and ticket sales and volunteer support, all of which, by the way, Omaha hit out of the park in all three categories. But we found success in the smaller markets, and I think Omaha was a great example of that. Obviously, 99 in Des Moines remains the largest senior event ever. So, again, we found a lot of support in places like Omaha.
We're talking with Tim Flaherty, Senior Director of the United States Golf Association, here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. How quickly could an event come back to Omaha? That's what the question is. Now, the most recent, you look at the history, 8 years is as quick as that anything has come back. When would you guys consider looking at coming back to Omaha?
Well, Doug, we react to invitations that we get from clubs. We do not go out and see clubs. Obviously, this was a very, very successful event, and I think it's probably Omaha Country Club needs to take a step back. And I would say the membership at Omaha Country Club was a tremendous partner throughout this. I think people maybe underestimate what a club does to put this thing on. And as you know, as you said, as we all go to different parts of the country, the club is left with a huge undertaking just to clean it up back there at Omaha Country Club. So, you know, I've been going to Omaha now for 6 years. So that's the preparation. That's the time the club has put into this thing as well. So I think the club needs to take a rest. I think the club needs to analyze, was it worth doing? Do we want to do another one of these? Because it is a major undertaking for a club. But if that were to happen, we'd obviously be very interested in talking to Omaha. You know, to use Des Moines as an example, we had a very successful Senior Open there in 99. The Champions Tour was there the very next year, and they were there. They're still there today with the Champions Tour in Des Moines. So trust me, the word is out in the golf community with the major golf organizations, the major associations, that Omaha is a place that everyone needs to look at. So don't be surprised if somebody else comes knocking besides the USGA. But I think from our perspective, we let the clubs sort of figure out what they'd like to do in the future. And if we can come to an agreement on maybe another Senior Open or maybe another championship that we have, We'd certainly be open to that, and they know that. We all know how successful this was. We'd love to go back, but again, we sort of wait to hear back from the club on that.
Tim, as you said, there's so many years of preparation. Do you guys, does the USGA have somewhat of an exit strategy for these courses so they can kind of have some of the same knowledge that maybe previous big venues have had? Is there an exit strategy, so to speak?
As far as education for clubs down the road, is that what you mean, Doug?
Well, what Omaha can do to get their course back up and ready to go and the tear down and get everything back to like it was,
absolutely.
For the members?
Again, we've been there for 6 years. Once everything's gone, there was a, the poor people at the club had to put on a double shotgun yesterday for the corporate supporters. That's never an easy thing to do on a Monday after a championship. But we go from here, Doug. We have a lot of good vendors, the tent vendors, those grandstand vendors. Those are people we deal with across the country. They know that the membership is anxious to get their property back, anxious to get their facility back. So there'll be a mob of people working out there in the next 2 weeks. But a very defined plan on getting all that equipment off the property and letting the club get back to normal operations. There's a very set club plan in place between the club and the management company and all the vendors out there.
We're talking with USGA Senior Director Tim Flaherty here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. We had Tony Pesavento on yesterday. I think that must be the best way to move on is just to keep busy, the head pro there at the OCC. Everybody talking about that first impression of the OCC was how hilly it was and how the rough was. Tim, with your first visit, did you remember being at that hilly, and was that ever a concern for you?
I remember it vividly. I was first there in 6 years ago. I'm from Boston, Massachusetts, so those of us in Boston, we think of Nebraska as one big flat place. So when I walked onto those grounds, I was pretty much stunned. I remember walking through the front. As you walk by the range, you don't see the hills, and then you walk out and you look out the back of the clubhouse, and it's like, where the heck are we? And that was my first impression. I remember walking the golf course. I had some concerns about the walk and the physical nature of that, but with Double Hills before, the players we played at out at the Broadmoor in Colorado Springs at 6,000 feet elevation with some hills. These players are in pretty good shape, but it did take its toll on some players. But I think the hills, I think it's a big characteristic of the golf course. It jumps right out at you. I think the players were a little bit surprised. They look at the 9th and the 18th. But I think all in all, it makes for a very interesting golf course, and I think a golf course that we were really, really, really happy with the way it played.
Tim, a question that we talked about a little bit on yesterday's show as well is there was obviously 99% of everything that was said was very positive, but nothing can be perfect. What would you have liked to have seen a little different last week, whether it was golfers, course, or things that were situated and had to do with the tournament?
Well, I think overall, we had a plan, and I think it worked great. I mean, the parking and everything, for some reason, people in Omaha seemed a little too concerned with parking, in my view. We had a plan. I think they've had some issues at the World Series or something, but, we got a lot of questions on parking. We got a lot of questions on our parking plan. All that stuff worked well. I don't know how you could do that any better. Really, I think looking at the week, the only thing you could ask for was maybe a little bit more excitement on Sunday, in my view. But Kenny Perry just played so well over the weekend that he took a little bit of the excitement out of it the last hour and a half. It got a little close there, and then he hit that shot on 14 to sort of win the thing. But outside of that, Doug, we had a great week there. Anything that I would bring up right now would be nitpicking, and I don't believe in nitpicking. I'm a sort of a big-picture guy, and I think if you look at the big picture of Omaha, it was nothing but a tremendous success.
Tim, a couple questions and we'll let you out of there. Your thoughts going over the pond here. Do you think any of the guys that were in Omaha have a legitimate chance to contend this weekend? And then they follow that right up with the Senior British Open, and Kenny Perry has elected not to go over there, even though he's won the last two senior majors.
Yeah, it's interesting. Is there a player right now that could contend in the British Open? I guess I saw the Freddie Couples and Tom Watson are playing together. They'll appreciate probably not having the hills to walk up at Muirfield, so they can talk about that. Obviously, that is a different league for these guys. But Freddie Couples was on the leaderboard at Saturday at Augusta this year. He's very competitive until the last round. So Tom Watson in 2009, does he have it in him again? I'm not going to tell Tom he doesn't have it in him again. But He's a few more years down the road, but they'll be competitive. They're great players. I think the senior British will be very interesting. The rest of the players are probably happy to see Kenny Perry staying home in Kentucky because he's just been dominating these events. I think, you know, that's a commentary, I think, on Omaha Country Club. They say great courses bring out the best players. Right now, Kenny Perry is head and shoulders above everybody on the Champions Tour in senior golf right now, and that's the champion in Omaha. But without him there, obviously, you look at guys who played well here. We had a really strong leaderboard all week. Corey Pavin, Rocco Mediate, Fred Funk. You know, I'd be looking at Fred Funk right now if I were to pick a winner for the Senior British Open. He, you know, another runner-up. He's won it. He's been the runner-up at the Senior Open the last 2 years. You know, those guys are going to play well over there. And, again, Omaha saw the very best players in championship golf, as I think we had that great leaderboard. And those guys will all be competitive at the Senior British.
Absolutely, no doubt about it. And Fred Funk, one of the guys that gets it, how accessible he was and how great he was to not only the fans and the media, but to everybody as well. And I guess last question I've got for you, Tim, because I don't have that information right in front of me. Colin Montgomery is the newest rookie on the tour. And Vijay is eligible. Do you know off the top of your head who might be the next two or three 49-year-olds that will be eligible in the upcoming months or next season?
Yeah, you know, Davis Love is eligible next year. He'll be a great name for us. As you said, a guy like Fred Funk, who's very accessible, very well-liked, and he sort of gets it, as Fred does. I think the most interesting thing one next year is Scott Verplank. We're playing at Oak Tree National in Edmond, Oklahoma, and Scott Verplank actually lives on the 17th hole. Scott Verplank won the 1984 U.S. Amateur at Oak Tree, and he turned 50 on the Wednesday practice day, the day before the Senior Open starts. So we did not plan it that way. It's sort of a fate, I think. But Scott, I think, will be a popular choice next year at Oak Tree. He turned 50 on the day before the championship. So other than that, there's a few more players come, but the two that stick out, I think, will be Verplank and Davis Love.
2014 United States Senior Open at Oak Tree in Edmond, July 7th through the 13th, and Tim Flaherty and his crew will be there once again. And Tim, we thank you and all your staff for the great hospitality over the last not just few weeks, but months as well, and maybe you can get a little rest now and hit a few golf balls of your own.
Yeah, well, Doug, look, I want to thank you and all the other media folks that were out there. We have gotten tremendous support and encouragement and coverage on this thing for the last 5 years, really. And we're just glad that everything went off well and everybody leaves Omaha with a really great sense of accomplishment for everybody. But thanks for all your support.
You bet, Tim. Great to chat with you. Enjoy the rest of your summer.
You too. Thank you.
You bet. Tim Flaherty with us on the Doug and Daddy Show, the senior director of the U.S. Senior Open. He's also with the U.S. Women's Open Championship. And, boy, a lot of work it takes to put on there. And I think we'll see it all settle. I'll be interested to see if there's any – Jeffrey follows all our tweets and things like that – to see if there's any tweets out there from any of the golfers saying, you know, even if it's next year when they go to Oklahoma, to see if they – say anything about, oh, this is way better than Nebraska, or wow, Omaha did it better, or something like that. It'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. I think Tim and all the golfers would like to relax a little bit, just like Kenny Perry is going to do with a couple of weeks off, and they can do that just like you can, relaxing in your brand-new furniture from Bruce Furniture. Kearney, Hastings, Holdridge, and Alliance, just right for you is what they live by every day at Bruce Furniture. That's their slogan. You can see them online at brucefurniture.com. It's not just furniture. It's floor covering as well to take care of your entire house, your business, your apartment, wherever it might be. Maybe you're getting ready to send the kids off to college, and they need a little something for their dorm room or their fraternity or sorority house or their apartment, wherever they're going, and they can take care of that for you as well. You move it into UNK, in, out, take care of it for you. Doing it for your house, they'll bring in the new furniture, they'll take out the old, they set it up for you. It's all part of the just right for you price and work that they do at Bruce Furniture, Kearney, Hastings, Holdridge, and Alliance. Michigan State football, Paul Konendyk, Spartan Magazine, when we come back.
There we were, me and my buddies at our favorite hangout, Cunningham's Journal. This time, we're sitting out in the courtyard, which is pretty cool. It's like you're sitting out in the tropics, got the palm trees, beachy scene, bunch of TVs to watch sports, and of course, live entertainment every week. When all of a sudden, I had an urge to get a frozen margarita. Of course, my friends just laughed. If you're looking for a good place to hang out this summer, eat good food, or even have a margarita, Cunningham's Journal in the courtyard is the place to be in downtown Kearney.
Get the best out of the rest of your golf season at Golfsmith's annual clearance sale. Hurry in to score some of the hottest gear of the season for the lowest prices of the year. Save up to 60% on select Nike men's and women's apparel. Plus, get huge savings on great gear like Adams drivers, Titleist iron sets, Cleveland wedges, and GPS watches from Bushnell. Before you go out there, get the season's best savings in here. Only at Golfsmith's clearance sale.
Tuesdays on USA Network are about to become your favorite night of the week.
We have a deal or not?
Because two of TV's most addictive shows are back.
Come in.
At 9, Covert Affairs returns with its most anticipated season yet.
I'm just doing my job.
And at 10, it's a new season of Suits, the most talked about show on TV.
Butch and Sundance are back.
It's two can't-miss shows back-to-back. The season premiere of Covert Affairs, tonight at 9, 8 Central, followed by Suits at 10, 9 Central, only on USA Network.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney, no health insurance. As independent and authorized producers of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska, independent licensees of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, Rich Peters and Matt Myers will work with you to make sure you have health insurance coverage that fits your needs. Their approach is simple. They listen. And will tailor a policy that'll work within your budget. When you need health insurance, just call Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your local Farm Bureau agents. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Sunny to partly cloudy skies will develop through the day today with a spotty chance for a storm late. Otherwise, expect a high at 89 with south winds on the way up to 10 to 20. For tonight, with partly cloudy skies, we'll fall up to 65 for a low. Right now, it's 72.
The Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, rolling on. More award watch lists are out. Nebraska junior wide receiver Kenny Bell joins the growing list of Huskers on the preseason watch list. He is on for the Biletnikoff Award, which, of course, goes to the top wide receiver in college football. Bell is coming off one of the most prolific receiving seasons in school history, setting Husker sophomore marks for catches, yards, touchdowns, and 100-yard receiving games. Of course, that's a very rarity to see a Nebraska wide receiver up for postseason awards and postseason honors. So Kenny Bell on the Biletnikoff Award watch list yesterday. On the Lombardi Award watch list is Spencer Long and Jeremiah Searles. Also in a little Husker news, one of the big in-state recruits. You don't hardly ever see a Nebraska commit not make it. Millard West's defensive lineman Harrison Phillips tweeted yesterday that he's going to go to Stanford, choosing them over Nebraska. Had a variety of other schools that he was considering, but it was really pretty much down to Nebraska and Stanford. It seemed like Kansas State was one of those that was in there till the final end as well, maybe a UCLA and things like that. So that's what's going on with Nebraska football. Let's do our 12 teams in 12 days. Mark Snyder. What do we got going on? Paul Konendyk, that's right. We talked with Mark last week. Let's talk to Paul Konendyk, Michigan State, for 12 teams in 12 days. Paul, thanks for the time. Glad to catch up with you. How are things?
Things are going well, I guess, until next week, because that's the end of summer for myself and, I guess, Mark Snyder at the Big Ten Media.
Sorry about that, but, I'm reading a few things here in Michigan State, and they are to me right now. I want to say, for me personally, the biggest question mark of any of the teams. I can't decide whether they are going to contend for the division title and maybe go to Indianapolis, or whether they are going to not bounce back from last year. Give me your thoughts right now on what you think Michigan State can do this year.
Well, I'll tell you what, this feels a whole lot like the 2010 season. There was a lot of change in the previous season before. Michigan State finished 6-7, the only losing season under D'Antonio, and they bounced back with their first of two 11-win seasons. I mean, the expectations are kind of the same. Back in 2009, people were talking about Michigan State as a contender. They had a lot of turnover at key positions, including quarterback, a lot of young players with talent but hadn't had experience yet. And people were saying, thinking because they had gone to not a BCS bowl, but a New Year's Day bowl the year before, that they were ready to take that next step. I think this feels a lot like that, a lot of the same question marks. And I guess only time will tell if that's the case. The difference between the Michigan State team in 2013 and that team back then was, I think the program didn't have a top 10 defense in place. And I think that gives this team a little bit more of an edge compared to that team. And I think expectations are high within the program, but you're not going to hear Michigan State as a team that a lot of media members think is a contender, because they were certainly a disappointment last year. But I think this is a spot where the program typically overachieves. And I don't think after back-to-back 11-win seasons you take a step backward permanently if you're Michigan State. I don't think the pride that exists in the program is going to let that happen. That said, there are a lot of big question marks, specifically on offense, and a lot of shoes to be filled, especially in the backfield with prolific tailback Le'Veon Bell forgoing his senior season and jumping to the draft.
And that's where we want to go, because, again, it looks like Michigan State will have to hang its hat on its defense, even though Andrew Maxwell is back at the quarterback position. Where will their offense compare to what they were able to do last year, especially if they have to go with youth at the running back position?
Well, I think when you look at the Michigan State offense last year, one of the big reasons why it came up short, was serious rash injuries on the offensive line. I mean, early on, specifically by the time Michigan State played Notre Dame in week three, they had already lost three starters, including key leaders on the offensive line. I think that's where the struggles really started, and that kind of magnified the youth issues on the offense. You've got a lot of guys that did struggle last year but gained experience, and I think that those struggles are going to help out this year. Andrew Maxwell, he did not fill the shoes of Kirk Cousins like a lot of people in the program expected him to, but I think as a whole, the quarterback position heading into the 2013 season is probably quite a bit better than it was last year, given the fact that there is other options besides Maxwell. I expect him to have a much better season as a senior, primarily because of the fact that you've got guys that struggled as inexperienced receivers returning. I mean, you've got three or four guys that had 30-plus catches, including some young guys that are ready to take the next step. So I think that'll help him out. But, it's going to start with the offensive line. And really, that's, I think, been the stumbling block for Michigan State in the past couple of seasons. They've just kind of been hitting their head on the ceiling with injuries on the offensive line. And that's prevented them from taking the next step and getting to that BCS bowl or making a really good run at the Rose Bowl.
Michigan State football on our 12 teams in 12 days. Paul Conendyke from Spartan Magazine is joining us here. Yeah, it would seem once again that the stars of Michigan State football are not going to be wearing jerseys that are in the teens or the 80s. They're going to be the big uglies. And boy, we love Max Bullock back here in this part of the country. Let's talk about the defense. Could it be the best ever, or do they still have some holes to fill?
I think this defense is going to be really good. I think it's a top 10 outfit. Where I think they can improve is getting off the field on third down. That was kind of an Achilles heel for the defense. I mean, they ranked, towards the top of the Big Ten and also towards the top of the national rankings in several statistical categories on defense, but getting off the field on third down was a problem. The program feels like they've upgraded the pass rush. Not now that Shalique Calhoun is stepping into the role of William Golston, that William Golston filled – Wilson was a guy that had a lot of notoriety, but he was more of a run-stopping defensive end than a pass rusher. Shalik Calhoun is a guy that gives Michigan State, some more edge presence as far as a speed rusher. He was a guy that TCU double-teamed throughout the bowl game. And, you know, a lot of the loud plays that people kind of maybe thought Golston did during the game were actually, in fact, Shalik Calhoun. So he's a kid out of New Jersey that can really get after it on the edge. I think you're going to see more pressure from the defensive end position this year. The linebackers are set with Bola. Bola's the best linebacker in the Big Ten. One of the headiest linebackers in the country. He's a throwback. He's tough. He's big, strong, and physical, and he's certainly the heart and soul of the defense. The one area where Michigan State is kind of reloading a little bit is corner. Darquez Denard returns as a starter, solid player with the NFL future. They feel like they've got another quality starter in Trey Waynes, who replaced Johnny Adams after Johnny Adams was injured before the bowl game. But the question mark in the secondary, I think it's going to be, can they build quality depth behind those guys? Can they get a third and fourth corner that play at the caliber that Michigan State expects in the secondary? So that'll be a question on defense. But I think overall you're going to see a top 10 defense for the third straight year for Michigan State.
Spartan Magazine's Paul Konendyk joining us here for another couple minutes on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Nebraska, when Bo Pelini took over, had to rely on defense and had a great punter as well. And when you got great defense and a guy that can pin you deep, that can lead for a long day or afternoon for your opponents. And Mike Sadler might be the best in the conference.
Yeah, Mike Sadler, a Ray Guy Award candidate, but he's certainly one of the best in the conference, and he'll be a key asset for Michigan State in the field position battle, especially if the offense does struggle again this season. I guess the one question mark you look at for Michigan State, in addition to some of the guys that struggled last year in offense, is the place kicking. Michigan State signed the number one kicker in the country, but he's a guy that's never kicked a field goal in college. They expect him to come in, a kid out of Ohio named Michael Geiger, and compete for the starting job, probably be the starting kicker off the bat. So in a season where you're probably going to see a lot of close games, again, they need him to perform at a high level as a first-year player.
And finally, Paul, taking a look here at the schedule, it's kind of like Nebraska's this year. There's not a lot of marquee home games. You do get Michigan at home, but a couple of key games are on the road, including Nebraska, including Notre Dame. And if there's some work left to be done, I don't think you can overlook the game at Northwestern. Now, what about this schedule?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, if you're a Michigan State fan, and I've had conversations with a lot of them, they think, well, Michigan State's got to win 10 games this year given the schedule. But, in the Big Ten, nothing's really a gimme, and there are some tough road games. I mean, look at the game at Iowa, which, a lot of fans expect to win. It's a tough road game. But I think one thing that Michigan State doesn't have this year is, Wisconsin or Ohio State. Those are teams that Michigan State's played quite a bit in recent years. So I think, from that aspect, the schedule does get a little bit easier, but there are some tough road games, and the rivalry game against Michigan is always big. I know that Michigan State's coaching staff would love to get one on the road at Nebraska. Those guys have a lot of pride, and I think they know Pelini and the staff going back all the way back to some of their Youngstown days with Pat Narduzzi. I think those guys want to win pretty bad at Nebraska. But when you look at the schedule overall, that might be a game that plays pretty big in deciding, who wins the Legends Division.
Paul, one of the emails that came in is talking about the old when in doubt, throw them out. The Big Ten really going to emphasize targeting. You can see some kids thrown out of ball games here. Just your thoughts on how up in the air that could be for our officiating crews this year.
Yeah, targeting is interesting. I was at a camp in Detroit, the Sound Mind, Sound Body camp, and Mark D'Antonio gave a pretty long lecture on, how players are supposed to hit. I think I think watching football is such a bang-bang sport. I don't know how much targeting really there is. I mean, obviously some guys do lead with the head, but when you go back and you watch some of these massive hits that lay guys out, they look like helmet-to-helmet hits, but sometimes they're not. So I think officials have so much going on that you just wonder if it's better off being like an NFL thing where, where guys look at it after the fact and then punishments get doled out the following week. I wonder if that might be the best option. I don't know. Officials have so much to worry about. But certainly, you know, targeting is going to be an issue because football is changing.
Well, I know the fans are already concerned that you might see a player thrown out. They're mad when they think it's a bad call. I can only imagine if somebody gets thrown.
I think what fans don't want to see is guys from their team. I mean, there's always the perception of, hey, you know, guys from Ohio State or Michigan or Penn State or what have you, those guys aren't getting thrown out. It's guys from Minnesota or guys from Northwestern. You know, I think that's the fan perception out there.
Yeah, we've already got people emailing us that Kenny Bell's a block in the Big Ten championship game. I might have got him ejected from the football game. So that's the Nebraska concern, I can tell you that, Paul.
Hey, I was at the press conference earlier this summer when Lem Barney said he wouldn't let his kids play football if he had it to do over again.
Well, it's interesting that this great sport is being put on the block. There's no doubt that you want to make sure that they don't get injured, but boy, we'll see how it all plays out. Hey, Paul, we'll let you get back to your day and a little bit of vacation that's left. We'll see you in Chicago next week. Thanks for the time on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Sounds good, guys.
Take care. Paul Konendyk, Spartan Magazine, joining us here on today's Doug and Daddy Show. John from Kearney emailing, okay, so Big Ten is going to eject a player for socialized targeting like Kenny Bell's hit in the Big Ten championship game. Once again, officials will determine the outcome of a game by a call that isn't good for football, since we know inconsistent calls cost teams games. And again, I will know more as we get closer. I haven't delved in and read how deep this is. I'm guessing this isn't something they can go review either during the game, which I think is key. You know what it looks like in live full speed, then all of a sudden you go, oh, well, yeah, it was bad, but it wasn't anywhere. The intent wasn't there. So I don't know. Everybody wants replay. Everybody wants it to be safer. And then yet once those rules are put in, then nobody wants to affect their game or their team or anything like that. So we'll see how it all plays out. Here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, glad to have you along with us. Troutman's Tuesday Trivia is coming up. We'll give away a $25 gift card to Troutman's. If you haven't won in the last 2 months, you'll want to stick around, and we'll give you a chance to win that. Hey, folks, don't forget Midway Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, and Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, located on South 2nd Avenue with their two lots to take care of you. The month of July with brand new vehicles of all makes that qualify for additional discounts. Midway has that on top because these come from the manufacturer. This is on top of the rebates, on top of the normal Midway discount, on top of their summer promotion of a $500 gas card. In July, the manufacturers are giving you a great deal. Check them out online or in person. You can go online to thinkmidway.com. And if you're eager for that football season, don't forget to like them on Facebook and register to win a pair of season tickets for Nebraska football this year. They're going to be drawing those out and announcing that at the very start of August, early August. They're going to be drawing that out, and you can go to thinkmidway.com for all the details and to see the fine inventory at Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Midway Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Hi, this is Trina. Like many of you, my husband and I are extremely busy with our careers and raising our kids. And the one thing that got away from us was our health. And to be 100% honest, we got fat. Our health was terrible. We then found Complete Nutrition. It was different. Their people really helped us out. The vitamins and supplements they recommended made us feel great. One was actually a metabolism-boosting multivitamin. Complete Nutrition has the only multivitamin on the market that actually boosts your metabolism. Who wouldn't want that? It's been a few months and we can't believe it. We are both down over 20 pounds. We have the energy we had in our 20s, and our doctor is amazed at how much our health has changed. We now realize that if you don't have your health, what do you really have? And it really stuck with us. If you don't have your health, what do you really have? Discover the difference at Complete Nutrition.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of SunMart on 2nd Avenue.
Is there a smoker in your life? Now they can keep the things they like about smoking while losing the things you don't. No more smelling like cigarette smoke. No more dirty ashtrays. Finally, smokers have a real alternative. Introducing the Enjoy King, the first premium electronic cigarette with the look, feel, and flavor of the real thing. It's a new day for smokers. Give them an Enjoy King electronic cigarette. Cigarettes, you've met your match. Available at participating 7-Eleven, Walgreens, and other fine retailers nationwide. Not for sale to minors. Contains nicotine, which is addictive. Find out more at Enjoy.com.
Progressive presents Flo's newest jam. Bundling will make you feel like the mayor of Savingsville.
Bundle your home and auto together, and you'll
town famous for the world's biggest puppy.
Bundle your home and auto together and save. Visit Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Home insurance underwritten by Homesite Group, Boston Mass, and other unaffiliated companies.
Beginning Thursday, Dial Global Sports will deliver all the exciting action of the British Open. Hey, how are you, folks? I'm Jason Horowitz. Join us as we'll bring you up-to-the-minute reports of the 142nd British Open from legendary Muirfield in Scotland. Can Tiger Woods claim his first major title since 2008? Or will Phil Mickelson, Rory McIlroy, or U.S. Open winner Justin Rose raise the claret jug? If it's the British Open, it's right here.
Coverage Thursday through Sunday on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Sunday to partly cloudy skies will develop through the day today with a spotty chance for a storm late. Otherwise, expect a high at 89 with south winds on the way up to 10 to 20. For tonight, with partly cloudy skies, we'll fall up to 65 for a low. Right now, it's 72.
City Field in New York, home of the Major League Baseball All-Star Game tonight, and of course coverage all day long, and then hear the game tonight on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Get those fingers ready to dial for Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. But before we get to that, congratulations to Jordan Hooper and Team USA. They are the gold medalists at the World University Games, and let's face it, folks, the men are playing for ninth, okay? It's not like this is you just go over and take care, because they had a 1-point win over Australia in the semifinals. Now, the rest of the games, pretty comfortable, including beating Russia yesterday, 90-71. But Jordan Hooper, first time she ever started for a Team USA in any international event, 9 points, 9 rebounds, and man, definitely got that shot to do some good things. So congratulations to Jordan Hooper on taking care of business. The men's team are playing for ninth place today. They take on Finland. They did beat Germany 92-70 yesterday. Doug McDermott of Creighton, it continues to play well. He had 18 points in the ball game. American Legion baseball action is continuing on tonight. Kearney Little Caesars has their final game of the year hosting Holdridge. It's a seniors only game at 7. Last night, Post 52 beat Lexington 9-0. Brady Johnson got the shutout victory. The Central Plains League had a senior all-star game last night at Ryder Park in Grand Island. Teams from all over our listening area are in the Central Plains League, and the South beat the North by a score of 7-2. And then you've got junior action continuing today with elimination games and championship games. Most of the junior championships in B and C at Cozad. The host Cozad will play Broken Bow. Broken Bow is undefeated, so that means they'd have to lose twice tonight. Dannebrog Carroll Bolas is hosting Palmer Wallback Greeley, but DCB needs to win twice tonight on their home field. Davenport Edgar Schickley is playing undefeated Geneva in the Silver Creek area tournament. And tonight, Shelton Gibbon is the undefeated team down at Imperial as they take on Hershey Sutherland. Now, we know and we talk and we gripe and we smile and all that when we talk about the travel that the teams in the western half of the state have to do. And it doesn't matter if we're talking about a football playoff game that ends up you're in the West bracket and Pierce goes to Imperial or Chase County, as the case may have been, and they're both so-called in the West bracket, or you've got the Class B district that goes all the way out to Scotts Bluff or whatever the case may be. But this C7 junior tournament, Ainsworth was in this area tournament. Ainsworth. And they actually won, what, 2-3 games here? So I don't know, you stay overnight in Imperial? I mean, you surely can't drive back and forth from Imperial to Ainsworth every single day. Hersey Sutherland, I mean, Shelton Gibbon's no short trip, and I know that, you know, that's a jaunt for the fans over there, Shelton Gibbon, but Ainsworth? Really? Now, let's pick the farthest, and again, that's not fair to Imperial either. It's not their fault that they're a farthest southwest team in this area. They deserve to host just as much as anybody else, but Overton, Shelton Gibbon, Hersey Sutherland, Imperial, and then Ainsworth, all in the same area tournament.
When Ainsworth was in the C1, they had... They're in that Bloomfield district as well, but Hay Springs was in that district too, so they had to come all the way. And they went. I think they went to the championship too, so they had to go there and back, there and back, there and back.
It's just I've seen them end up going up like to Crawford, where they have, you know, if you're up in that northern part, whether you're Cody Kilgore or Valentine or Ainsworth or anybody that's on that Nebraska-South Dakota border, Shadron knows all about it, you better have a good bus. They don't like that $4 gas either.
Well, a little promotion here. I was from O'Neill, so I'm familiar with that. Speaking of good buses, we made state tournament. We had to go out to Sydney, and our bus popped a tire twice on the same trip. So you do actually need a good bus. That's not just a cliche.
Breaking down sucks. There's no doubt about it. Before we do Troutman's Tuesday trivia, I want you to tell the folks. Folks, let's say you go, you get married, and you go. If you do go on a honeymoon, and it's very popular to go to someplace warm, Mexico, the Caribbean, Jamaica, wherever you want to go. Maybe you do the sandals cruise, you do the tour, and you all inclusive, whatever it is. But you do things for entertainment, for relaxation, that you've never done. You snorkel, you go deep sea fishing, you know, if you're on the water. You decided to paddleboard? Is that the case?
I think that's what it's called. So me and my wife are down there relaxing on the beach, and she doesn't want to go do the water sports, so it's all inclusive like you had said. So I was like, hey, you know, I spent the money, might as well just go learn how to paddleboard. So she's laying out there, and so since I'm going by myself, this nice couple, I don't remember where they're from, I think from Iowa actually, they decided to go out and teach me. Well, it was really, really windy that day, and the current was really hot, fast. And so we end up going out there, and I'm learning, and I'm kind of spinning in circles more than anything. And so the wind and the current, as I'm spinning circles, are keep taking me out. And you're only supposed to go out probably a quarter mile past these red balls. Well, after I keep
buoys, we like to call them buoys.
Yep. After buoys. We keep spinning in circles for about, I'd say nearly 20 minutes, I look up and I can't even see the resort we're staying at.
Wilson!
And so
Wilson!
I start to panic. And so I start, literally, it took me an hour and a half to get back, just paddling away. My shoulders are pink from the sun. And the lady that was teaching me, she didn't have the muscular strength to get back. So they had to send out a rescue boat to go get her.
I wouldn't recommend this tour.
It was a good time. It was just so windy and the current was so fast that a beginner like myself was just, I picked the wrong time to go out, basically.
Picked a bad day to quit sniffing glue. But you're back and not lost at sea anymore, right. Not on CNN. So that's a good thing.
I honestly was not fearful for my life, but was like, holy crap, they're going to have to come get me because I'm miles away from this resort. And so there was some fear going on, like some, maybe a piranha's going to grab my toe or something.
Oh, man, that's just wrong, wrong, wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Well, let's get after it. Let's do Troutman's Tuesday Trivia to kind of wrap things up on the Doug and Daddy Show here today. Call now, 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776, 888-455-3776. If you have not won in the last 2 months, you are eligible. And folks, oh, how yum, yum, yummy is it when you go to Troutman's and get whatever you want, from maybe some prime rib to some bacon to some baked beans to some ham to all the great steak and USDA choice beef that they have. Who are we chatting with?
Mark.
Mark, let's talk All-Star Week here. This man has won the most Major League Baseball home run derbies.
Prince Fielder,
incorrect. Try back. 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. Major League Baseball All-Star Game tonight, hosted by the New York Mets. Who are we chatting with?
Hey, it's Michael.
Michael, who has won the most Major League Baseball home run derbies since its inception, which was back in 1985 was the first one. Who's won the most?
I'm going to say Ken Griffey Jr.
That is correct. Well done. I just kind of pulled that one out. Hey, I'll tell you what. I'm going to give you a bonus question. I rarely ever do this, but for extra prizes, this was Jeffrey's question. I thought it was tough, but like if I recognized somebody that called in, I'd have thrown it to him. Who has the most home runs in Major League Baseball since the start of the 2010 season? Do you know?
I want to say Miguel Cabrera.
Oh, my goodness. That is so close. That's second. I thought for a minute you were going to get it. Miguel Cabrera has 142, and Jose Bautista of Toronto has 144. Yeah. Well, you're just going to have to settle for, you know, not winning the showcase, but just winning the brand new car today. So we'll give you the $25 gift card to Troutman's, and hang on the line. We'll get you set up. Thanks for calling.
All right, thanks.
There you go. Prince Fielder could have been a three-time winner. Griffey Jr. won it in 94, 98, and 99. Of course, all as members of the Seattle Mariners. But you go back here, and seriously, the names that have won it since Vlad Guerrero in 07, you got Justin Morneau, then Prince Fielder has it a couple times, David Ortiz, Robinson Cano, and then last night, the guy whose name we'll forget to pronounce here next month, Eunice Cespedes, been working with that all day long, but he's the man. He's the winner. So there you go. I don't think I asked any other questions, did I? No, we didn't even do any golf or British Open questions today. So I think that's the end of the show. Let's get on out of here. Again, the finalists for the UNK Athletic Director job were announced this morning. Gene Berger, Senior Associate Athletic Director, Senior Women's Administrator at Northern Iowa, and had spent 14 years at Drake. She's been at Northern Iowa since 2008. Mary Ellen Gillespie, Associate Athletic Director for External Relations at Bowling Green, where she's heavily involved in the development and major gifts program. Been there since 2006. Had also been at Purdue and Iowa. Rick Gobe, he is the Athletic Director at Bemidji State since 2001. Before that, Alaska Fairbanks. And Paul Plinsky, AD at Wisconsin Whitewater since 2004. We want to thank Tim Flaherty, Senior Director of the United States Golf Association, for joining us today. Also, Paul Conendike for joining us from Spartan Magazine, 12 teams in 12 days, Michigan State. Among the teams we're talking about tomorrow will be Illinois with the voice of the Illini, Brian Barnhart. We've still got Wisconsin, Ohio State, Iowa, of course, Nebraska, Northwestern, a whole lot more to come. So keep it here as we continue on the Doug and Daddy Show. See you tomorrow at 11.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.